Say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time God is good. This morning we have gathered together once again that we may serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. We have come together for that purpose. And if you're here for any other reason than that, you may be in the wrong place. Let us thank God for giving us another day. Let us thank God for giving us another opportunity. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed because you have left us here to given us this other another opportunity to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We are so thankful, O Lord, that you open our eyes this morning. You put breath into our bodies that we breathe out and breathe in, Father. We thank you for the air that we have. We thank you for the food we ate. We thank you for the clothes that we are wearing. But most of all, we thank you for your darling Son, Jesus Christ, who, because he died, we have an opportunity to live. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we have been blessed enough to be able to come out and spread your name and let our light so shine, O Lord, that others may see, that we may glorify our Father which art in heaven. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for the leaders in this congregation and their families. We pray for all the brethren and their family who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for those that shall come behind from this point on. We pray for those who might be traveling. We pray for the sick and the shut in. We pray this morning for Antoine Evans, Sister Taylor's nephew, who is going through some ups and downs right now. We just pray that if it be your will, you would heal him, O Lord. But if not, Father, we know that your will shall be done. We pray for Brother Lowe this morning, O Heavenly Father, as he had to rush his wife to the emergency room. We just pray that everything might be found well with thee and that you might find everything well with them. Thank you, O Lord. Father, we pray and thank you because Jesus went to the cross. We have this opportunity once again. Thank you for everything you do for us, O Lord, and thank you for what we do for you. And we pray, Lord, that we can do more for you than we have done in the past. We thank you for that cross as it stood upright and hung. Jesus hung from it. We thank you for his life that gave us our opportunity for new life. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray and ask it all. Amen. You know, the scripture was read for your hearing from Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, where it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I may as well tell you up front and get it out of the way. Heaven won't have everything and heaven won't have everybody. So just be aware that we as Christians are aware of heaven. It is one of the main factors that influenced us to become a Christian in the first place. From our text, we see that the instructions are given on what we are to do and why we need to do this in order that we may please our Father which are in heaven. Some folk have been misled, some have been deceived, and some have not been taught in the right way. For some have the misguided notion that all they need to do is to get baptized, add Christians to their name, and they will be on their way to heaven. And for sure, that's not the whole truth. Heaven is best. Heaven is the best that we can hope for after this journey called life. There is work for us to do while we are here. More than reading a Bible verse, more than reading a Bible verse or two, surely more than singing, "I'll fly away," or "to up Canaan's land, I'm on my way." It's more than that. There are some things that we must not, that we won't find in heaven. And I may as well say thank God for those things not found in heaven. Let us look for a few moments at several of these things. Sin will not be found in heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Certainly God will keep it as such, so we won't find the likes of the fearful and the unbelievers, according to Revelations 21 and 8. The whoremongers and sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These are those who did not want to follow the cross of Christ, those who choose not to be a follower of Christ. They instead would take everlasting punishment over a crown of righteousness. In verse 27 of Revelation 21, the Bible teaches us, it carries the list even further. There shall be in no wise enter into heaven anything that is defiled, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. When we get there, church, there won't be nothing not pure found in heaven. We shall be in the presence of the Father and the Son. Heaven will be the perfect place where the words of Job shall ring true, where he said in Job 19 and verse 25 and 26, I know that my Redeemer liveth. In verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Yes, church, we all must die, according to Philippians 3 and 21. But Christ shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Thank God for those things we won't find in heaven. They will not be found in heaven, and some of the people that you know won't be found there either. Death will not be found in heaven. Not only will there be no sin in heaven, but there will be no more dying. We live in a world where, according to one survey I read a portion of, approximately 2 people die per second in this world. This is why there are so many cemeteries and so many funeral homes and around our towns and our cities. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, we have a promise from the Master himself, who said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus said, I was dead, but I live, and he has dominion over hell and death. If he said no more death, then I believe it, and so should you. We cry for our loved ones when they die. We feel sorrow, pain, and sadness. But just think for a moment how great it will be when we no longer have to see nor face death. Revelation 21 and 4 says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, I know you may have heard this scripture quoted many times before, but in order to know and understand it, we must live so that we may have the opportunity to experience it. When one is born, they begin a journey that sometimes may be filled with much sadness and trouble. One thing we can know is this: there will be trouble. Yet when we live righteously, we have the opportunity to go to our Father's house. That's according to our Father's house, which is in heaven, according to Matthew chapter 5 and 16. We need to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we let others see our light, it lets them to know we are serving the Master and tells them we want to get to heaven. Now, I know that some of us want to get to heaven, but sometimes our lights become dim. When our lights become dim, we are not letting others see how, that we are glorifying God. Also, there are battles that will not be, there are no battles to be found in heaven. We live a battle-worn life, especially when we try to live right. We battle from within, and we battle from without. In Romans chapter 7, in the 7th verse, chapter of Romans, starting around verse 18, it teaches us that the flesh, which is the corrupt nature, is in battle with the good. The flesh does not want us to do good. In verse 19, it says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." From these few verses, we can see that rage and battle that is written, that is within us. Yet, if we learn to trust in the Almighty God, He can get us through these inner battles. In heaven, there will be none of these inner battles, nor the battles without from Satan, who is always trying to destroy us. We have proof in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. We are cautioned to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now think on that, if you will, for a moment. You've got to be sober. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to be on your P's and Q's. You've got to watch, because the devil is around seeking if he can devour you and I. And he doesn't have any respect for who you are. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care. What he does care about is if he can make you one of his own. And when you say, "I'm a Christian," you have labeled yourself, and you make him work even harder to capture you, because he likes to take away those who are weak and those who are not strong in the gospel. You see, he doesn't really worry about the people who are not Christians, because for the most part, he has them already. He just wants to add more and more to his army. These kind of battles will not be found in heaven. Neither will trying to figure out what is right and what is wrong. Satan won't be there to influence our thinking. Sometimes it seems as if every time we start to do something good for God, something for God, Satan is there to try and stop us. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He said to the Thessalonians, he said, "I wanted to come to you more than once, yet Satan hindered us." Just try and make it to heaven, and this will not be in our way in heaven. Now, I realize there are family conflicts. There are church conflicts. There are job-related conflicts. But if we just strive to make our way to heaven, we will not have these things in the way anymore. They will not be in heaven. You know, heaven, this is kind of going away from my topic, but heaven is a beautiful place. And you want to get there, but if you think you're going to miss these items that I just read to you, spoke to you about, then maybe you need to rethink, because those won't be there. If we just make our way into heaven, we will not have these things in our way. They will not be in heaven. We fight many battles here, but thank God when we get into His house, There shall be no more fighting necessary. No more watching as our neighborhoods change. No more worrying about moving away. There will not be a better place to live our eternity than right there in the heavenly abode. I'll ask a question now. Isn't it worth the sacrifice now in order to have a home with him in his house, which is in heaven, the eternal home for those who love and keep the faith? In that scripture of Matthew 5 and 16, it states that we must have our light shining so that we can be an example, or it tells us how to, that our light should be shining. Let me just read it again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we can be an example to others, not only in what we say, but how we live. Also, when we proclaim to be a Christian, let your light be shining so that your life may be glorify God in your life and glorify God before men, that they may know who and what you stand for. You know, it's good to say I'm a Christian, but sometimes when you say I'm a Christian, you don't act like a Christian. I know church folk that don't always act Christian. I know church folk that say that they are Christian, but when you listen to them, you have to doubt. You sometimes ask yourself the question, are they really a Christian? With what I saw them put in their mouth and what came out of their mouth, it doesn't sound like it. But you know something? When your light is shining, you are letting men know that you are glorifying God. Let the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm saying this morning that when your light is shining, let it shine. Let it keep shining. Don't turn it on Sunday and turn it off on Monday. You need to let it shine all the time. You need to let your light shine that if I walk up on you, I'll know what you represent. See, and then when you tell me I'm a Christian, I can see by your walk. I can hear by your talk, and I can understand by your ways. But nevertheless, there are some good things that won't be in heaven. And that's no more sin, no more death, and no more inner battles. You know, when you got a battle going on, you're not yourself. You ever seen that commercial on TV where the people change their face and change into someone else because they haven't had a Snicker? Thank you, Sister Jackson, for the Snickers. I just want to say that when you act like somebody that you're not, you don't have God in your life when you're acting ugly. When you think about it, God is good all the time, and God is all right with us, and we should be all right with him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, it's a good thing when you let your light shine. It's a good thing when you walk in the light, for God is light. And in you should allow that light to be on. When I consider the matter a little bit further, I ask myself the question, is my light on? And you ought to ask yourself that same question. Is your light shining? If it's not shining, you need to ask yourself, why is my light not shining? So you ask yourself, you take an inventory of yourself. You ask yourself, am I on the road to heaven? If I'm not, why not? And if I am, what can I do to make sure I can get there? Well, the Bible teaches us to make your calling and election sure. So when I ask the question, is your light shining? That means that I can't see your light. So you need to turn it on. You need to let it shine. If I have to ask you, is your light shining? So when God calls for us, and he will call for us, make no mistake about it. When we stand before God in the judgment, which direction will you be sent off unto? To the left or to the right? With the goats or with the sheep? Think about it for a moment. And then ask yourself the question, what can I do to do better? What can I say and what can I ask of others that they may see my light so shining? I got a few minutes, so I'll just talk to you for a moment. When your light is shining, you are letting others know who you're glorifying. When your light is not shining, that tells the world a whole, sends the world a whole different message. And some of us as Christians, I think sometimes we'd like our light not to shine. That's the way we act. I'm not talking about anybody here. I didn't catch anybody doing anything around here, so I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying. When you are out and about, your light ought to be shining. When you are in your house, just sitting there, your light ought to be shining. But especially should be shining when you're out and about, that others may see. And you ask yourself this question, if my light is not shining, why is it not shining? And then you prepare yourself. You know that one of the greatest things in God's toolbox is the word study. We need to study to show ourselves approved. And when we study, that means more than just picking up your Bible, opening it up, and reading one scripture, one verse, and say, oh, I've studied. Studying means sometimes you have to get down into it. Studying means sometimes I have to get on the telephone and I have to call you up. Brother Hall, I might ask you a question that I don't know the answer to. And I might ask you, Brother Thompson, how do you explain this to me? Explain it so that I can understand it. I want my light to shine, and you ought to want your light to shine, and all of us ought to want our lights to shine. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hid. So if our light is shining, see, we live in a dark world. We live in a dark city. We live in a dark neighborhood. And our lights especially ought to shine bright. For the darkness can overpower the light if we're not careful. But when you think on it, you ask yourself the same question over and over again. How can I make my light shine so brightly that others may see that I can glorify before myself, before that others may see and that I may glorify God which is in heaven? Now, glorifying God, I may as well carry this a step further. As I say, I got a couple of minutes. Doesn't simply mean you coming to church on Sunday. Because some folk come to church on Sunday and they got just as much hell in them as before they got here. And when they leave, they got that same thing in them. When you come to church, when you open the doors of the church, leave your baggage outside. Because how many times have you asked somebody, what's going on? How you doing? And you open up a whole can of worms. See, that's supposed to stay outside. If you're having problems and you need somebody to pray for you, then you explain it to them, I want you to pray for me that I may grow strong and I can get over this. But you see, when I ask you to pray for me, and I'll ask the church in a minute to pray for me. You know I've done it before, church. I've stood right here and I've asked you to pray for me. Because I need prayer. It's not easy sometimes when you open the Word of God and you open it to a certain text and you see something there and you say to yourself, when you examine yourself with that text, are you doing that or are you doing this? So when you ask yourself the question and you examine yourself, sometimes you realize I need some help to get to where I need to be. And oh, I'm not all that I should be. I'm not saying that. But neither are you all that you should be probably either. But the one thing I want you to know, I'm trying. And if you can say I'm trying, then that's a good road to take. And you ask for a little help along the way. You ask your brothers and sisters to pray with you and for you. You ask them to help you get on the right path. You ask them to get you through whatever it is you need to get through. Pray for me that I get through whatever I'm going through. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's job related. Sometimes it's your husband or it's your wife. Sometimes it's your children. You know, children can cause us many heartaches. But you know something? God is bigger than any heartache and headache that you can have. He can get you through all and above all of it. If you just let your light shine and glorify Him, He will answer prayer. God is still in the prayer answering business. And I know there are many, many folk in the world today, but God can still answer prayers. But first of all, in order for Him to answer it, you got to go to Him with Him. Go to Him with them. And somebody told me before, well, I'm not sure I know how to pray. And my answer always is the same when somebody says that to me. I ask them, do you know how to talk? There's a song said, just have a little talk with Jesus. So a prayer is nothing more than a talk, but you want God to answer your talk with Him. So if you can talk, you can pray. And if you pray, you can possibly get an answer. Now, God doesn't answer all prayer. Not every time you ask Him. He may be telling you, just hold on for a little while. And He may answer you, I answered you yesterday on that prayer. But you didn't feel and see my answer. But nevertheless, we've got to learn, if we want to get to heaven, which is a beautiful place, we've got to learn to live right, walk right, and talk right. And how do I do that? Well, simply put, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you come by hearing, believing, repentance, confessing, and then being baptized. And then after you've been baptized, you walk the straight and narrow. But if you've fallen off the straight and narrow, you ask God for forgiveness and ask the church to pray for you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.